Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
It's Diabetes and You. The president of the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago is here and ready to provide information to you on diabetes. We're broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM. Get in touch with us during the show. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Diabetes and You is sponsored in part by Calco International Limited. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi, Carrie. How are you doing? And thanks so much for the introduction. So today on Diabetes and You, we're going to be talking with a very special guest. But of course, before we start talking with that guest, we need to tell you what's going on in the association. One of the things that we have started is our diabetes crew quiz. We have launched the quiz. And if you know a child in standard three, that child can enter the quiz. The quiz is going to start, or the preliminary round of the quiz is going to start next week. It is virtual. The preliminary round is virtual, so children could enter by visiting our website, which is www.diabetesquiz.org. So if you visit diabetesquiz.org, you can be able to get signed up for the quiz if you're in standard three. Of course, the semifinals and the finals are going to be in person, and it's going to be a grand affair. We want children from every single school in Trinidad and Tobago to enter that quiz. So we're hoping to get a lot of participation, and you're going to be getting a lot of prizes and a lot of opportunities to learn about diabetes and learn about health. Another one of our big activities that we have launched, and we're going to be starting to have tickets this week, is our I Am Jazz Festival. And this festival, of course, a jazz festival with a difference, and we're teaming up with the Clinical Media Group to do this. This is one of our premier fundraising activities for the Diabetes Association. The festival is on April 9th, and that's Easter Sunday. It's going to be at the Cipriani College under the trees. Really, really nice event, really, really premier artists. And tickets are going to be on sale from next week. So you could purchase a ticket and you could come to the jazz festival, enjoy a really nice, relaxing evening, meet some of our members, meet some of our supporters, and meet some of the presenters who would have been visiting us, some of the guests we would have had on Diabetes and You for the last few weeks, or last few months, rather. So the other activity, of course, is our sixth form internship program, and we're going to have that sixth form internship program ready as soon as CAPE is finished, so in a couple of months. And we're going to be taking in 30 new sixth formers, both in lower and upper six. These sixth formers are going to be taught about everything that you could possibly know in terms of running a health NGO, because lots of these sixth formers who may be listening, who, if you have a sixth former as well, who may want to get into the medical field, or who may want to learn more about health or help people, this is a perfect opportunity for you. There's no other program run like this in Trinidad and Tobago. And we have the 30 from last year, and they're really, really impressing us. So it's quite a lot that we're going to be doing, quite a lot of activities that we have coming up. But again, today on Diabetes and You, we have a special guest, and we're going to be talking about diabetes and yoga. And I know many of the listeners, because I know many of our listeners who've been calling do practice yoga and do practice stress relieving activities to manage their diabetes, to live healthier lives. So we want you to participate. We want you to give us a call. We want you to tell us what your experience has been with yoga. Tell us what your experiences have been with stress management. And we have a very, very special guest today. So a special guest, one of my colleagues at UWE, is Dr. Virginia Victor. She holds a PhD in nursing, a master's in psychiatry and nursing, and a master's in psychology. She also has a postgraduate diploma in yoga, and she's currently a lecturer at the University of the West Indies School of Nursing. Her particular areas of interest and research are mental health promotion, disease prevention and educational activities. So I want to welcome Dr. Victor to the program. Hi, Dr. Victor. Hi, Dr. Victor. Let's probably give her a minute and we'll sort it out. But Beast, thanks for joining. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man.
And of course, again, if we're able to share the phone numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So, yeah, our phone numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, your WhatsApp message is only 306-1065. Now, when people think of yoga, they think of, meditation, probably a lot of sitting, a lot mm-hmm. of stretching exercises, you know, in terms of how mm-hmm. your flexibility, your age. And I know it's age just in terms of when of how you who can do yoga. I look at videos and I see people in their 50s, 60s, 70s doing yoga, young ones doing yoga. It's really something nice to get involved in.
Definitely. And I mean, it's not just used for stress management and relaxation, but we've also seen studies and persons have been using it to manage their diabetes. Mm-hmm. And there are types of yoga or forms of yoga that you could use to manage your diabetes. So there are many different forms, there are many different types, and there are many different techniques that you can use to actually control the body. And I believe yoga is about controlling the body and taking control or using your mind to control the physical parts of your body.
Mm-hmm. I think your guest has unmuted. Freedom 106.5 FM, you're listening to Diabetes and You. The president of the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago is here and ready to provide information to you on your diabetes. Once again, folks, our numbers with any of your diabetes questions, 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065. Let's see if your guest is here. I see we had to admit her in a different forum.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Hi, Dr. Victor. Are you there?
Yes,
hi.
Andrew, I'm here.
Hi, thanks so much.
Okay.
That's okay. And thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for taking your time to chat with us.
You're welcome to
give our listeners some information about yoga and, I mean, your expertise. We have a lot of practicing yoga professionals in Trinidad and Tobago, but Dr. Victor is actually a very accomplished one. She's an academic as well as a practicing yoga professional. So she's one of the perfect persons we have to answer questions that our listeners may have about yoga and how yoga could be able to help us. So Dr. Victor, I know that we wanted to set the stage a little bit. And before we go into the topic and we talk about we talk about the topic at hand today, I know that you had a little exercise for us, something for us to listen to, and I'll share it when you're ready, but I want you to introduce it to the listeners before we begin.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. First of all, let me wish all Trinidad and Tobago, happy Trinidad and Tobago, good afternoon to every one of you. And this, before I begin the session, Andrew, this will be a nice to just play a music, because I believe in music. Music will relax everyone. So let us listen a melody so that let's make everybody to start with relaxed mood to join in our session. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Dr. Victor. Really, really nice piece of music there. And tell us why you wanted us to listen to that piece of music.
Actually, music is one of the relaxing art, okay? So when you hear this music, I don't know how many of you would have, what are the emotions went through or pass on in your memories or in your mind and in your sense of admiration. So this would have given a comfort feeling. See, ultimately, when you hear a music, you are enjoying. So when you enjoy, your happy hormones will secrete. So when happy hormones are there in good condition, it will make you to feel well-being. Good well-being is very essential for a good state of health. So health is being triggered by a piece of music, a piece of art, like dancing and laughing, anything. So I prefer this music whenever I would like to be relaxed, to make myself to feel happy, I listen to this music. So music is very, very important to relax us. Thank you.
Very nice, because of course, a big part of dealing with stress, dealing with any chronic disease is really how healthy your mind is. So dealing with stress and using music to deal with stress is, of course, has been proven to show, has been proven to be very effective. So let's get into the topic, Dr. Victor, and I want you to tell the listeners a little bit more about you. So I want you to tell them about your background, your experience, particularly working with patients with diabetes, and the experience that you would have had.
Okay, to be frank to this question, working with diabetes exclusively with this particular group, I never worked like that, because when I started my education started with the medical science and nursing, and there I have learned more about the diabetes in detail in a medical point of view. Then later, I just equipped myself with psychology. So when I just learned psychology, I learned how the mind, normal mind works, and it is influenced by various factors. Then later, psychiatric nursing gave me in-depth information. So when you see my qualification just helped me to understand in depth. So whenever we worked with the community, worked in the hospital sector, worked with the students, there and all, I have just worked in that way. But specifically with the diabetic community, I never worked. But my yoga information would have served them in a bit here and there. Yeah. So that's the thing I can just say. Otherwise, now my knowledge, my interest, my understanding that working with the diabetic is very, very essential, because stress related, because my psychiatric background and my psychology and yoga, when I learned yoga, I learned that how medicinal yoga is effective. I mean, how the yoga is in a medical point of view is useful for the particular diseases, especially NCDs, non-communicable diseases. So diabetes is one of that.
And so, Dr. Victor, what led you to explore the benefits of yoga? What led you to actually move into this direction and look into it as an option for non-communicable diseases such as that?
So non-communicable diseases, the main cause is attributed to stress. So stress is the inevitable in our life. We can't avoid, escape from the stress. Every day, from the beating the traffic till packing up things and going and reaching, coming back and cooking food, everything causes little stress, but it is all our day-to-day activities. So this stress really works out with our mind and body. So particularly diabetes. See, if you see diabetes, most of the cases are induced by the stress. And moreover, this today's world, we are living in a very fast-track world. Everywhere stress, everything is tension for us. So more youngsters are coming up with the prevalence is more among the youngsters. So stress is very, very important one, especially in diabetes. So if the mind is relaxed, because one point I would like to stress here, because the stress induces diabetes, and because of diabetes, stress will be more sensitive in the person, because the person cannot handle stress due to the diabetes problem. Same way, stress will induce the diabetes. So it's vice versa. That is why we need to know handling stress. So handling stress, one of the methods is the best method is yoga. That's why this part of yoga linking with the diabetes has motivated me. So I can say that it is very essential. We need to talk about, because the mind impacts of diabetes on mind is not very much spoken, but impact of diabetes on health, that is health conditions like a neuropathy, mm-hmm. nephropathy, retinopathy, that means how diabetes affects the eye, mm-hmm. how diabetes affects the kidney and affects the nervous system, mm-hmm. that we are talking. Many interventions are addressed and many researches are going on, but talking on mind, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. how mind is affecting the diabetes, especially stress, or because of diabetes, how the people are experiencing with the depression, kind of depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, mm-hmm. and fear and anxiety, stress. Mm-hmm. So these things are linked.
And in Trinidad, Dr. Victor, we have a colloquial term we use, worries. So we say people have worries, and they really worries. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to give you a story of when I was doing some work a few years ago, and we were looking at some patients with diabetes at a health center in South Trinidad. So we were trying to figure out what were the barriers to them taking care of their diabetes. What prevented them from taking care of their diabetes as they should? And in almost every person that we surveyed, almost 600 persons, almost every one of them mentioned stress or worries, having personal stress, as in things that they may need to worry about, they need to take care of, as in taking care of other people who may have diabetes, as in having to make ends meet, having to worry about their condition and worry about consequences. So worries, I think, is cross-cutting across everyone, and everyone who may be affected by a disease, and more so than persons who may not be. So, and you rightly put it, diabetes may be caused of one of the predisposing factors for the development of type 2 diabetes may be stress, and maybe this excess type of stress. So we're going to talk a little bit more about how yoga is going to assist persons, or how yoga could assist persons in managing this stress. And again, I want the listeners to know that we will take your calls. If you do practice yoga, tell us about it. Tell us when you started. Tell us what you do, how often you do it, and tell us if you've seen a change in your life, or if you've heard someone started to do yoga, or what change did they have, or are you interested in starting yoga? You could give us a call, and we'll be able to give you some advice. So we'll get some advice from you, because this, of course, is your way or your time to share as well. So in the meantime, Dr. Victor, we're going to talk a little bit more about how yoga actually is going to help or be able to help individuals manage their condition. And what can they do? Meaning that, so we say in yoga, is it that they have to do it every day? Is it that they have to do it? How often would you say someone should practice, and for how long?
Okay. According to Trinidad and Tobago's term, worries. See, mm-hmm. this worries, mm-hmm. everyone should understand one basic fact, okay? That is, worries will aggravate any normalcy to the abnormal. That means, mm-hmm. any worries, if you have, your performance, your motivation, your interest, everything will be shattered or go down. So this concept people should understand. By worrying on certain things which you don't have a control over, mm-hmm. worrying on certain things which you can do, but other aspects are not coordinating, worrying on certain things which you can do, but you have a less motivation to do further. These things we need to understand. Second point, if you ask me the stress or worries, how to handle mean, first thing we need to be aware and accept. So motivation, of course, as I said, when person is having a diabetes, that will affect their mental health. What is the mental health? The components of the mental health which affected here is they will lose their interest. Mm-hmm. And less interest, less motivation, mm-hmm. and they will not practice certain things what they're supposed to do,
yeah.
including yeah. their medication. Because in my studies with the students, when we do, we see that they taking medication, they are not adhering to the regimen because mm-hmm. they lose interest. So in that way, yoga, the concept of yoga, the practice of yoga enhances the person's level of well-being. So the well-being is a broad term, which I say. So in that, the hidden things are your interest, mm-hmm. how much you give value to yourself,
mm-hmm.
and how much, what philosophy you have to your life. See, mm-hmm. we have one life, and this is my body. Yeah. I need to perish. I need to give importance to my body.
Yeah.
So when people lose interest out of the illness, because of illness, their motivation will be less.
Mm-hmm.
So the community level activity strategies and home-based strategies or regional-based strategies, like how to motivate them, how to keep them in a track to do their activities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is one aspect I just said. But yoga, while doing yoga, your mind-body is being tuned.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have three things in our body, that is, I mean, in our, as a human,
mm-hmm.
mind, which is abstract. Except you, nobody can see, read your mind, other than if you exhibit your actions. Am I mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
Will you agree with me?
I do.
Second thing, yeah. Second thing, your body. Everybody can see if you are sick. And you can perceive if anything goes wrong inside or outside. So it is, we can see it. Because of concrete evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit, you two don't know, me too don't know, and even the others, and even after death.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where the spirit is lying and how it goes leaving the body. So this concept, if we understand, because this is the one they try to make you to understand in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So yoga is being mindful to know about yourself, to understand the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling it in a philosophical and factual way, okay? Second thing, yoga practices are three types. I'm just talking about yoga to mm-hmm. tell them, because they need to know how yoga is working
mm-hmm.
on human body and mind. So the body and mind linkage is taking place by doing the practice of yoga, because yoga has got three techniques mainly.
Mm-hmm.
One is Hatha Yoga, we say. That is, Hatha Yoga means you make different posture of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep your body in a different postures to squeeze. I will tell it in Trinidad term, squeeze.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To make, because if you see in a biochemical, I think you know very well if I say, mm-hmm. because you are a biochemist.
Mm-hmm.
In biology, we have a ingestion, digestion, and excretion. The excretion mm-hmm. part is nothing. It is a wastage. You have to remove the wastage from the body. When you do these postures, different postures in yoga, you are waste accumulation of the wastage in the blood vessels, and it will be stimulated and it will be squeezed, it will be enhancing to return back to excrete. In a simple mm-hmm. just way, I'm telling. Second mm-hmm. thing is, another yoga is called the prana yoga. Prana yoga is nothing, it is a breathing. That is another technique. So through your breathing, you can control your mind and you can relax and you can beat your stress or worries.
Mm-hmm.
Third one is the mudras, mudra yoga. Mm-hmm. Mudra yoga means a seal, making a seal. For example, when we say peace, we will just lift up two hands.
Mm-hmm.
And victory means just spreading your index finger and the middle finger in a wide apart and just wave your hand when you say bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all the signs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Signals are signs. Same mm-hmm. way in mudra, according to yoga, they say that you need to maintain different mark or the signals or the seals of your mudras of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So by usually the mudras are maintained, done in the by using your hands and fingers. But even your own body, you can flex it in a mudra. That is very difficult. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So why I'm just talking about all these things, how to handle, how yoga is useful in diabetes especially.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So when a person is having a knowledge on these areas and knowing that your illness will demotivate you to practice or to follow a healthy behaviors, which mm-hmm. is going to support your diabetic life
mm-hmm.
to live long, to manage your pain and manage your distresses. So that is the reason I'm just telling all this.
So,
go ahead.
And so, Dr. Victor, that was the first time I really realized that there are two types of yoga, and the way that you described it. And very interesting, and I think most of our listeners who may have never practiced would have never heard about that before. So I really am grateful to hear that there are these different forms. And I assume practicing these different forms may have various types of benefits. So we're going to talk some more about that, and we're going to talk some more about the specifics about some of the things that persons can do at home even after the break. We're going to take a little break now, and then when we come back, we'll be able to chat some more.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, I do have some questions coming in from the WhatsApp. You're listening to Diabetes and You and Freedom 106.5.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Thank you there very much. All right, 12:36 on time. Freedom 106.5. You're listening to Better Meds with Base. We're inside the segment called Diabetes and You with Andrew Danu, president of the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago, and his very special guest, yoga specialist Dr. Victor. We have two questions here, one on yoga and another general diabetes question. Now, in terms of doing yoga, do you have to practice somewhere quiet? Because this person is saying where they are may not be, you know, something. But in Trinidad, we have a lot of noisy areas, but do you need to practice in somewhere quiet?
Can I answer for that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See, of course, seeking quiet is one of the essential one, but if you don't have a quiet place, your house is the quiet place. Sometimes when we prefer our house itself as a quiet place, so grass cutting will be around, so that will disturb you. But still, we usually, if we become more sensitive around the things will not be working out. So quiet place is, of course, every day searching for a quiet place and every time it may not be possible, but quiet place will enhance your deep relaxation.
All right.
Of course, you need it.
Yeah, great. And in terms of, if somebody said, I've heard that you can do yoga simply by, you know, taking a deep breath. Do you always have to have a lot of movement, but can you just stay still sometimes and just take your deep breath? Is it all about sometimes your breathing?
Yes. That's what I was about to tell you this. See, finding quiet place may not be possible all the time. So, as I said, three types of yoga. To do your postural exercise or the yoga, you need a yoga mat, you need a place, and you need to do. So, second one is the breathing. That is, it is a Kundalini yoga, they say, because pranayama, you controlling your breathing and letting out breathing practice. For that practice, simply because breathing enhances your oxygenation. So all blood vessels will be vibrated, and so that the blood will get a good oxygen and all tissues will be nourished. That is the concept, okay? So when you want to do this, even in your office, even in your working place, even in your, even when you take bath, I'm just telling you this truth, because after when you are dressing up, anytime you can just take a deep breath, hold it and leave it slowly. Even if you do once, that's very good. It will give you. So breathing, doing anywhere is nothing harm, or you can do it. So that is highly feasible.
All right. Yes, another. Can. Yeah. Great. Another question here about yoga. It's coming in. Doing a chant while doing yoga. The person mentioned, you know, sometimes you see them doing om. Is it important to always do a chant while you're doing yoga?
One thing I want to highlight here, because whenever I speak about yoga to some of my specific friends, they say that, no, I don't like to do or listen yoga because it is a Hindu religion. See, we have a religious affinity, okay? So based on that, some people have a wrong opinion that yoga is coming from the religion of Hinduism or Buddhism. So it is not good to listen based on our preferences. So first thing I would want to say that yoga has a medical benefit. See that one. Because when I learned yoga, I'm a Christian, but still I learned that course. When I was doing doing that course, a year program, a degree, of course we met so many yogis. We did that. That om is the word it is a universal sound. Today, the web scientists are telling that, the astronauts are telling that the universal sound itself is om. So m or om, both are same, but if you pronounce, that is very good, because when you do that, all your muscles and blood vessels, nervous system will get a kind of vibration. You need vibration, mild vibration. You are inducing in your own body to make yourself to be fresh, to be stimulated with all your activeness. So you need a good feel. So for that, om, m, or whatever, the sound. Not necessarily all the time, but begins with, as one of the beginning exercise, warm-up. To do warm-up, they do this one. Of course, nothing wrong in that. So I just want to say specifically here, don't look the some of the beneficial activities as based on religious, and look for the benefit of body and mind.
Mm-hmm. Great information there. All right, the next question is a general diabetes question for you, Andrew. Hi, good day. I am on Janumet 500. I take it after dinner, which is approximately at 6:30. My reading is between 129 to 118 before breakfast. I am 63 years old, and thank you for any feedback.
Was it a question?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, good. For feedback on their treatment is here. Taking a Janumet 500. They're taking it after dinner, which is approximately 6:30, and their reading is between 129 to 118 before breakfast. They're 63 years old, so they're just looking for some feedback, I guess.
129 to 118?
Yeah, that doesn't... Well, I don't know if it's back to front, but 129 to 1... It says 129 to 118. That must be a mistake, right?
118. Oh, okay. Yeah. So generally, if it is that you're taking a fasted blood test, which is before you eat in the morning, we want it to be below 125. So 129 is a little borderline, but 118 is good as well. So we say between 80 to 125, but the middle, which is about 100, is really your best target. So you want to reach there. So Janumet is a medication which actually kind of stimulates the pancreas to increase the levels of insulin production. It's typically taken around meal times, because or after meal time, that it lowers how much sugar made by the body. It lowers how much sugar is circulating in the bloodstream. So it's a medication and that physicians would put you on. Again, is an anti-diabetic medication. So yes, it is a medication that is doing its job if it is that your blood sugars are within range, because I would say for the most part your blood sugars are within range. So what I would advise is that you continue taking the medications, and if you do have any side effects, if your blood sugars tend to go above 125 when you take that fasted blood sugar test in the morning, then you should contact your physician and then tell them about it. Maybe the medication needs to be adjusted. But for the range that you're having right now, 118 to 129, that's okay. It's a little bit on the higher end, but that's okay, because, of course, you're 66 years old. As you get older, physicians tend to be a little bit more lenient with your blood sugar ranges as well, because we don't want your blood sugars to go too low. It's very important that your blood sugars don't go too low, because that may be too dangerous, very dangerous for you, especially as you get older.
All right, 627-3223, 625-2257. All right, so you can continue with your questions with Dr. Victor there, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Bass. And of course, if you're getting a call, just put it through. Right. We want persons to ask questions. Again, have you experienced yoga? What questions do you have about yoga?
All right,
for Dr. Victor?
We do have a call coming in before you start. Let's go. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Bass.
Yes.
Good afternoon to the guests.
You know, when I heard yoga, I thought of you, Mr. Pinal.
Yeah. about all these various approaches.
Mm-hmm.
I can't carry my sugar down to 80. Early on, when I found out I was diabetic, I decided I was going to drive it down to 80 and see what happens. That's too low for me. I stay away from that.
Yeah.
100 and above, one up to 140 and so on, is where I would normally stay if I could. Of course, you can't mm-hmm. always be there. But what I read in my wide-ranging research, internet research with properly qualified medical doctors operating in the American environment, putting out their books and their videos and whatnot, is that if you have a whole set of things wrong with you and you try to pull down one value, like you try to pull down your sugar, and you could do it, there's medication that would pull it down, you could be doing yourself more harm than good, and you should take a period of time and get yourself overall better than just concentrate on your sugar. And of course, I go with my vegan diet, and this has worked well for me and so on. Right? I don't hear too many of our local doctors speaking along the line of a vegan diet, and I don't hear too many people talking in terms of, you know, if all of the values are off, focusing on one only could be more bad than good. So I'll listen off air now. Thank you.
Thanks for that question. Thanks very much. Dr. Victor, you want to comment on any thoughts you may have on a vegan diet in terms of health? And maybe then I will share some thoughts about what he would have.
So vegetarian diet is, of course, it is good, very good. And some of the nutritional aspects, see, each body and by your practice, your cultural practice, okay, everything plays in a role with the vegan diet. So vegan diet has got a benefit by supplemental from the natural foods. For example, leafy vegetables, legumes, and dal varieties, everything. So these type of vegan variety, but again, based on individual health status is the question mark. Because mm-hmm. each individual are having a different health status. See, for example, and different reasons for their health problems, absorption problem, okay? Any food when we eat, the absorption of the body should be good to take all the nutrients from the food. But genetically or by surgically or by some immunological problems may hinder with the absorption problem. In that case, even whether vegetarian or whether non-vegetarians, the problem of ingestion is not observed by your body parts. So in that case, vegetarian diet, practicing a vegetarian diet with the all good physical profile of the person, that is good. But if you need extra, and if you need anything which is having a trouble like this, absorptional problem or mm-hmm. intolerances, there will be a big question mark. So supplements has to be. But on the whole, the question is, he's practicing vegetarian and he's feeling mm-hmm. good. But mm-hmm. by practice of the individual, by from childhood, if they are mixed, if they are used to eat or fond of eating both varieties, so we can't insist them. But many people, as I have seen in Trinidad, they are switching over from the non-vegetarian habit to the vegetarian habit for the benefit of their body and mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With that, I can say that practicing vegetarian makes you more control your stress, and yeah. stress reactions will be controlled. That is true. That I have experienced and I have heard. I have listened from the public also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With that, I strongly suggest if you switch over to vegetarian, or sometimes in a month, if you practice vegetarian diet, only vegetarian week, mm-hmm. that everything is really having a subtle benefit to the body, because mm-hmm. you are allowing the body not to experience with a heavy diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thanks for sharing that, Dr. Victor. And I'm glad that you did highlight the fact that there may be nutritional needs, or different persons may have different nutritional needs. And that's very important. And what we always advocate is, no matter what diet that you want to consume, once the diet is balanced, and balanced meaning has the appropriate amount of nutrients that are appropriate for you or specific for you and specific for your needs. So a balanced diet may be vegetarian, it may be vegan, it may contain meat or poultry, fish, but a balanced diet is very important to be able to provide you the nutrients meaning your energy sources, your carbohydrates, your proteins, fats, and of course the vitamins and minerals that you may need. So balanced diet's very important, whether it's vegan, whether it's vegetarian, whether it's meat. So thanks for that. The caller would have given us that suggestion. And the other thing we'd have mentioned is his blood sugar. He doesn't, it's difficult for him to get down to 80. So 80 is what we don't want you to get down to. 80 is the borderline, the lower end of your normal fasted or your lower end range. Well, fasted or non-fasted, it is really in the lower end range. If you're getting down to 80, it means your blood sugars are approaching very low regions. So you don't want to get down there too much. And especially if you're a person who may be on medication, especially insulin, if you're someone who may be living with diabetes for a long time, someone who's elderly, we don't want your blood sugars to go too low. Lower blood sugars are more dangerous for you in the short term than high blood sugars. So your target, again, between 80 to 125 puts you, your target at around 100. So 100 may be the best fasted blood sugar, a little bit higher, but just like he would have said, different persons operate at different normals. And we all know that nobody, no two people are alike. And that's why we have ranges. So we can't, you know, this is 100 is exactly for you. So it's good that he knows his normal, and then he's sticking to his normal. Yeah.
Yes.
So Dr. Victor, we just have a few minutes left. So we want to wrap up the interview and talk a little bit more about how persons could actually perform some of these exercises at home, or rather. So you mentioned these three types of yoga, and you mentioned, yes, you could do postures. And of course, I assume doing postures, you need to know what postures to do. And I know there are many, many yoga classes and places that you could go to learn and to follow and instruct to do some of these postures. But breathing, can someone just do breathing exercises at home, and can that assist? Can that help in any way?
Okay. So I'll be a little bit elaboratively. I want to tell something in a brief, okay? I'm not going to take much time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Hatha Yoga, as sure. I said, Hatha Yoga as a posture. So best practice of one of the yoga technique is the Surya Namaskar, Sun Salutation, otherwise called. So Surya Namaskar, if they practice in that, all kind of flexions and extensions and various postures will be maintained, so that it has got a lots of benefits for many organs and many conditions, to improve your blood and to improve your happy hormone, relaxation, gives good relaxation, many things, okay? So Surya Namaskar, it has got 12 steps. So from standing, from bending down and bending backward, then going down to the floor and in a lying down position, and again flexing your body in opposite direction, that is lifting up your legs and your head side and lying on your tummy, then again getting up and flex again. So it's like a different kind of postures. Like you will be like a bow, you will be like a moon, half moon, you will be like a the other different postures will come around, and like a mountain. Mm-hmm. So this Surya Namaskar is the best one according to me, because 12 steps, 12 postures will come in that, and you can practice that one. So any centers, wherever they go, or if I welcome even to that center to learn more on postures, which is benefiting for diabetic people. Second one is the Utkatasana. Utkatasana is like a sitting, like a camel, posture of a camel. Okay, that is one more asana, which is benefit for, see, the asanas are related to the postures, the animal's postures. Why they have kept that name? See, every animal resembles in the action of this Hatha Yoga. That is the historical concept they have attributed to the yogic postures. So each posture, each animal's character will be developed. It is not, don't mistake that animal character mean, for example, your concentration, your attention, those things I'm talking. But in these postures, like Surya Namaskar, Utkatasana, Dhanurasana. Dhanur is bow like a structure. Then Vajrasana, just sit on your, fold your legs and sit over your legs and just keep your hands in a mudra position. So relax. The next one is the Padmasana. Just Padmasana is mostly yoga will be done on the floor, okay, sitting posture. Many people may not able to do that due to the pain or may not have a habit of sitting down for a long period. So those people can sit even on the chair and relax in a relaxed posture. Just do only breathing exercise by closing your eyes. That is enough. So this is about Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga means, I told you, the posture. Second one is the Kundalini Yoga. Kundalini means it's a breathing, controlling your breathing. So breathing is very, very essential because we are not breathing consciously. It's unconscious response. Am I correct? It's going on. See, we are talking, but we are not effectively feeling that we are breathing. But breathing is going and coming in and out is happening. So, but that is not effectively done. That is the concept which is said in yoga. So you have to take a deep breath consciously and hold it consciously and let out slowly. So you are controlling your own breathing. It enhances the lung capacity and lung exchange of the gas in the lungs, and so that the oxygenated blood is being circulated through your all your arteries and through all your blood vessels. I mean, blood vessels will be rejuvenated and all the body parts, especially the major parts, liver, kidney, pancreas. So all your abdominal organs and your brain. So that is very important. So the pranayama, if you see pranayama, bastrika, they say bastrika means just take deep breath, hold it. And when you let out, you have to let out with a pressure like in a rhythmic pattern. So all yogic actions or the practice will be going along with these three patterns of yogas. So when you do posture, you will be doing breathing exercise too. When you do breathing exercise and posture, in that you will maintain your mudras too. So all three will go hand in hand when you do yoga. So that is the good practice, actually. So second one is, so Bastrika and Ujjayini, you have holding like, I'm not getting immediately the names of the breathing exercise. So breathing exercise, pranayama. Pranayama is a breathing exercise, okay? That is the other term. That is the Sanskrit word. So you have a different, but especially Bastrika and Ujjayini are very useful. Then next one is the mudras. For a diabetic people, there are hand mudras. I told you, I think even in one of our event, we have just, I've shown that one, but I didn't go in detail. But here, I want to say, because those who are practicing, those who are going, taking attempt to go to yoga center, so please try to learn these particular mudras, which is benefit, highly benefit for you as a being a diabetic patient. So one is the Linga Mudra. Linga Mudra, then Surya Mudra, then Prana Mudra, then Apna Mudra, then Dhyana Mudra. So I just, if you allow me, can I just explain how the mudras goes in by words? Yeah. Can I tell you?
We just have a couple of minutes left.
Okay, then. So these mudras are very essential. So this, so as I said, practice all three at a time. And but diabetic people will have a restrictions, pain, and some of these swellings are, they will have a lots of kind of disturbances in doing how they were very young or when very healthy. So for them, my advice is just make it simple. Don't have an ambition, that don't feel that I couldn't do an extreme type of yogas. Simple yoga is just sit on the floor with folding your legs. Keep your hands extended on your thighs. Just holding it. Your index finger and your thumb finger together and extend other three fingers and close your eyes. Take deep breath and just let it, I mean, hold it for 1 minute, then slowly let out. This is the principle of doing yoga. Don't do anything vigorously. And that is the concept you need to follow.
So, and thanks so much for sharing that. And I mean, those are some very simple things persons can do to incorporate. And as you did mention, we are going to explore some yoga practices or some yoga classes at the Diabetes Association and incorporate some research into it, because we know that we want to be able to use things which are proven, techniques which are proven, and this is proven to help persons manage their diabetes. So I know you're going to be working with us at the association very soon to start a program. So we're looking forward to that. And I want to thank you, Dr. Victor, for sharing your wealth of knowledge about yoga and of course your experience in working with patients for many, many years. And in the next few weeks, we are going to have a lot more professionals talking about a range of topics relating to diabetes care. And we want to thank, of course, all of our listeners, all of our contributors who've been able to call in and give us some information or give us their opinion today on diabetes and you. So thank you so much, Dr. Victor. Thank you so much to all the listeners. And thanks, Bees, for helping us out throughout this hour.
No problem.
Have a good day. Have a good day, everyone. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to your guest, Dr. Virginia Victor. We were talking diabetes and yoga today. And yeah, man, do that, practice your yoga. And you heard, most importantly, they spoke about the stress. The more and more I hear about illnesses and diseases and sicknesses, lessen your stress is the better it is for you. So stop stressing out, people.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.